Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of AI Unchained. I'm your host, Jack, and I've got my fantastic co-host, Cor, with me today. How are you doing, Cor?
I'm great, Jack. Ready to dive into today's juicy tech topics. We've got a whirlwind of things to discuss, from the latest in AI advancements to the most controversial moves in the business and political spheres. Buckle up, folks.
Absolutely. First off, we have a fascinating story about a new AI startup that's promising to revolutionize personalized healthcare. Are we buying the hype, or is this just another flashy pitch in the often overpromised world of AI?
Oh, I'm all about busting myths and breaking down the tech hype, Jack. Plus, we'll be touching on some major Web 3.0 developments. You know, blockchain for the win, or is it still just smoke and mirrors?
And don't forget, we'll also delve into those shocking new regulations coming out of Washington. Is it just politicians trying to rain on our tech parade, or is there something more to it?
Politicians and technology. A match made in, well, certainly not in Silicon Valley. But before we get into that, let's not forget our regular segment where we predict the next big thing in tech. Spoiler alert, I think it's going to involve another fancy acronym that nobody can define.
Haha, I love it. We always have so much fun with our debates, and I'm sure today will be no different. So grab your headphones, settle in, and let's get started on another epic episode of AI Unchained.
And remember, folks, we love hearing from you. Drop your comments, share your thoughts, and let us know what you think about today's discussions. Now, kick back and enjoy the ride.
Let's hit it. So, Cor, the new GPT-5 models from OpenAI, this whole hybrid approach is pretty wild. I mean, we've got everything from a regular to a nano model, and each having these different reasoning levels. It's almost like they're creating a Swiss Army knife of AI models. What are your thoughts on these new dynamics?
You nailed it, Jack. It's like they're trying to cover all their bases with a single release. The split into regular, mini, and nano models, each with those four reasoning levels, minimal, low, medium, and high, means they can cater to such a wide range of use cases. This flexibility can be a game changer for businesses trying to integrate AI at different scales.
Exactly. And what really caught my eye was the emphasis on health, writing, and coding as key use cases. I mean, they've put so much effort into making sure GPT-5 handles health-related questions accurately. That's a huge deal, don't you think?
Absolutely. Reducing hallucinations and improving instruction following here is crucial. If we have a model advising on health, even if it's basic advice, it really needs to be spot on. You don't want it suggesting you treat a headache with a pineapple, right? Precision is everything in health.
And let's not forget the introduction of safe completions. It reminds me of those joke memes where AI is trying to navigate morally tricky waters, like this totally makes sense. Providing a gray area instead of outright refusal or complete compliance can make AI far more adaptable in real-world applications.
Yeah, it's almost as if they're training the model to be a really thoughtful advisor rather than just a rule-enforcing machine. It understands nuances better. I mean, imagine if your AI could help with cybersecurity queries without spilling all the beans to a potential bad actor. That's next level utility.
You know, Cor, the advancements in reducing hallucinations are monumental. Given that most API queries still rely on internal knowledge rather than updated browsing, it's vital the model gets its facts straight. It's like having a super brainy but scatterbrained friend who's finally learned to double check their answers before speaking.
Haha, nice analogy, Jack. And it's true. Properly filtering out misinformation makes these tools far more dependable. Speaking of dependability, how about the parallel test time compute in the GPT-5 Pro model? This tech only available to the $200 per month tier subscribers. It has powerful implications for anyone handling intensive data tasks.
Oh, yes. It's a pricey upgrade, but for those needing serious compute power for heavy-duty tasks, it could be worth every penny. With this parallel processing, it can handle more complex calculations or simulate larger datasets faster. Can you imagine the applications in industries like finance or research?
Completely. Jack, looking at this though, don't you feel there's this underlying hint of them future-proofing their product suite? Like, GPT-5 models seem to be edging out other OpenAI models. It's almost like a clearing out of the old to pave way for this new standard in AI.
For sure, Cor. It's as if they're setting a new benchmark with these models and slowly weaning off the older versions. Eventually, we might see the whole lineup replaced by these more versatile GPT-5 models, making everything more streamlined for users.
And I find it fascinating that they're really pushing the boundaries in real-world applications. Take writing, coding, and health. These are practical, everyday uses where AI needs to perform reliably. OpenAI's clear focus on enhancing these areas reflects their broad vision. It's not all about novelty, it's about tangible benefits.
Speaking of tangible, did you check out how they've even considered prompt injections and system-level vulnerabilities? Obviously, they're serious about shielding their AIs from misuse, which, let's face it, is a very real issue.
Totally, Jack. The robustness of these models against such vulnerabilities shows they're not just releasing them willy-nilly. There's a deep focus on security and user safety. It's like making sure your house is not just nice to live in, but also fortified against burglars.
Exactly. They've added several layers of thoughtful refinement, from the training datasets to red teaming assessments. OpenAI isn't just pushing the envelope, they're securing it as well. Now, I'm dying to see how actual users will adopt this hybrid model in their workflows.
Right there with you, Jack. Seeing these models in action will be the real test. Especially in creative and technical industries, the flexibility and precision of GPT-5 could be revolutionary. Let's keep an eye on how these developments unfold.
So, when we're talking about value, it's got to be more than just a number someone throws out. It's what someone is actually willing and able to part with, realistically. Otherwise, it's just fantasy. This ties back to engineering excellence. We've got to create solutions that are actionable and practical.
Absolutely, Jack. When I look at concepts like the Model Context Protocol, MCP, it simplifies so much. Imagine it as the USB-C for software tools. Instead of having different cables for different devices, MCP standardizes how these tools connect and communicate. This means less setup and more time actually getting things done. So it brings us closer to that actionable value you're talking about.
Exactly. It's actionable because it works in the real world. Touching back on early stage companies, it's the same principle. You want to establish best practices right from the start, like CI/CD or automated testing. So as you scale, everything doesn't fall apart. It's about owning the whole life cycle from conception to deployment and beyond.
Speaking of scaling, did you hear about the new water pipeline at Starbase, Texas? It sounds boring, but actually it's a huge deal for companies like SpaceX. Whoever controls the water tap in a company town essentially controls the pace and scale of operations there.
It's a perfect example of how infrastructure supports value creation. You can't have big ambitions without the basic necessities covered. It's like trying to build a skyscraper without a strong foundation. And tying this to our conversation about engineering excellence, the team's role in deploying a system is as critical as building it in the first place.
Right, and this also resonates with Brex's approach. While they haven't raised fresh equity funding recently, they strategically sell bonds to keep their cash-intensive business running. It's about leveraging existing assets effectively, another practical, actionable step within reality.
And then there's the beauty of simplicity, which GPT-5 brings to the table. That thing wrote 400 lines of code in 2 minutes for a Bernoulli effect simulation. I mean, imagine if every project could be kickstarted like that. We're talking serious acceleration in development times.
It's wild. Back in the day, having code written on demand seemed like science fiction. Now we have models that not only understand prompts, but execute them with precision. It's a bit like trying to define the value of an NFT without someone willing to buy it. The potential's there, but it needs practical application.
Totally. And speaking of NFTs, seeing the numbers on Punks and BAYC makes me wonder how these values will hold up long term. You know, the reality check in high-stakes digital assets is whether people will keep trading these at the projected values.
Oh, for sure. It's all about long-term utility and real-world applicability. Just like what Michelle was saying about doctor visits, how much family history to reveal. It's a reality check. Same for artificial value. If no one's capitalizing on it, it's just theoretical.
Exactly. That's why it's so crucial to differentiate between perceived value and real value. Look at Roman Storm, for instance. Conspiracy conviction under Section 1960 shows how serious and real these repercussions are if you don't tread carefully in new territories like DeFi.
Yep. There's a lot of fake it till you make it, but ultimately, what delivers measurable, sustainable impact is what matters. That's why focusing on things like MCP for tool integration or having robust practices from the get-go isn't just fancy jargon. It's what turns visionary ideas into successful realities.
And ensuring that those visions have actionable steps and practical frameworks sets the groundwork for future growth. The tech world is moving fast, but without a solid base, everything falls apart. That's something everyone, from early-stage startups to global tech leaders, needs to remember.
True. The definition of value isn't static. It's fluid and evolves with how we leverage technology and infrastructure. And as we continue navigating this complex landscape, it's our job to ensure that what we're building has both immediate and long-term potential, making it genuinely worthwhile.
Absolutely. Core actionable, practical, and ready for the future. That's the real takeaway here. So, Core, have you been following the developments with Microsoft's Phi series models? They're banking big on synthetic data. What's your take on that?
Absolutely, Jack. Sebastian Bubeck and his team are really pushing the envelope here. The idea of training these models exclusively on synthetic data is quite revolutionary. Think about it. Instead of scraping the internet, they use custom-generated data, which could be way more controlled and relevant. But I wonder, isn't it insanely costly?
Definitely. Generating high-quality synthetic data isn't cheap. Unlike scraping free data off the internet, you have to create every token from scratch. But here's the kicker. When you control the data creation process, you can sidestep a lot of the biases and inaccuracies that plague internet data. It's like growing your own organic veggies instead of just buying bulk from the supermarket.
Interesting analogy, Jack. But let's look at it this way, too. Are companies earning back what they spend on this high-quality data generation? I mean, pouring millions into creating synthetic datasets must show some serious ROI down the line, right?
You'd hope so. It's a huge gamble. They're basically betting that this highly curated dataset will yield models that are significantly better and more reliable. If it pays off, we could see models with far better understanding and application capabilities. Heck, companies like Stripe are already improving their credential management systems with such advanced AI, managing emails, MFA tokens, and the works.
True. And we can't ignore the potential for digital personas and unique digital identities these advanced AI models could create. Imagine having AI systems capable of handling automated 2FA, creating unique phone numbers and emails on the fly. A complete game changer for account creation workflows. The personalization aspect would be on another level.
And speaking of security and personalized data, have you seen the latest on the geneticist Jim Wilson's findings? 1 in 7,000 people in the UK comes from first-degree relatives? That's mind-boggling.
Yeah, that's more common than I would have imagined. But it makes me think, could synthetic data, particularly in healthcare, help us model genetic outcomes or track genetic anomalies better? It's fascinating how synthetic data can be tweaked to mimic real-world but specific scenarios or combinations that we might not frequently encounter naturally.
That's a solid point. Like using synthetic genetic data to predict potential health outcomes or mitigate risks, it could transform medical research. But coming back to businesses, companies like Brex are expanding their services massively in Europe. They're offering spend management and embedded payments to startups, which is a great market, until you realize the regulatory complexities.
Exactly. Brex's move is certainly big, but the lack of traditional banking services available initially could be a stumbling block for those infant startups. Between Brex, Ramp, and Mercury, the competition in the fintech space is heating up, but traditional banks still hold sway over many essential services. Still, Brex's valuation surge to $22.5 billion in just over a month is wild.
It's the Wild West out there for fintech. And speaking of wild, this recent BWEG data breach incident shows why high-level data security is crucial. Customers' IBANs and other sensitive info got leaked. It's a nightmare scenario, reinforcing the need for robust always on databases and raft replication in critical sectors like e-commerce and stock trading.
Yeah, data breaches are becoming way too frequent. Raft replication across data centers is a must for that kind of 24/7 availability and security, especially for sectors handling financial transactions. It reminds me of the current landscape in digital assets, and it's good to see firms like Ripple moving towards acquiring traditional banking aspects to bridge the gap between conventional and digital finance.
Absolutely, though there are still plenty of regulatory hurdles. Digital assets are growing, yet trust issues persist, and government regulations will play a huge part. I mean, Ripple's acquisition of Rail just underlines the necessity for stability and reliability, particularly when transitioning between stablecoins and traditional payments.
And that's where the importance of companies like Ripple filing for banking licenses comes in. It's not just about the tech anymore. It's about integrating tech into the existing financial system seamlessly. Also, funny enough, while they embrace the traditional system, other entities like Tether keep pushing boundaries, sometimes controversially.
Indeed. Do you think we'll see a point where digital and traditional finance find a balance? Speaking of balance, companies are now focusing on enhanced balance sheets like no long-term financial obligations apart from operational costs, ensuring they remain agile and responsive.
That's the golden ticket, isn't it? Flexibility while growing rapidly. If they can maintain that, coupled with cutting-edge tech like synthetic data models and robust security measures, these companies could redefine the financial landscape. It's like they're banking not just on data, but also on strategic foresight, planning, and execution.
Well said, Core. It's an evolving space for sure, and I can't wait to see how these developments shape the future. Who knows? Maybe next time we chat, we'll be discussing how synthetic data models have finally revolutionized everything from healthcare to business strategies. All right, folks, that's a wrap for this episode of AI Unchained. We covered a lot of ground today, from the latest advancements in AI technology to the impact of recent business mergers in the ever-evolving political landscape.
Absolutely, Jack. We had some heated debates, especially about the ethical implications of artificial intelligence in warfare. I think we can all agree that this is a topic we'll be revisiting often as the technology continues to evolve.
Not to mention our deep dive into the ramifications of the latest big tech company mergers. It's always fascinating to see how these giants maneuver and strategize in such a competitive space.
And let's not forget the laughs we had at the ridiculousness of some political antics we've seen recently. It's good to find humor in the midst of chaos, wouldn't you say?
Definitely. Core laughter truly is the best medicine. But in all seriousness, it's crucial to stay informed and engage with these issues because they shape the future we're heading into.
True words, Jack. So, to our listeners, thank you for joining us today on AI Unchained. We hope you enjoyed our discussions and gained some valuable insights.
We appreciate your support and participation. If you have any thoughts or questions about today's episode, don't hesitate to reach out to us on social media or via email.
Remember to subscribe to the podcast, leave a review, and share it with your friends. Your feedback helps us grow and continue bringing you the latest and greatest in tech, business, and politics.
Until next time, stay curious and keep questioning the world around you. See you next time.
See you next time, everyone.